Color in sky, brush and blue. Scarlet fleece changes hue. Crimson ball sinks from view.
Welcome everyone to Earth Harmony Divinations on this fine Wednesday, December 10th, 2008. Elizabeth here. This will be my last live show for this incredible year of 2008. I sure won't forget it. Are you feeling the need to exhale? Whoa, on to our new high frequencies we go. I do not want to look back or live in the past anymore. I don't know about you, but I think we are fast forwarding our frequencies here. Friends, as I mentioned in my last show, we are officially on day 6 of the Mayan calendar since the 13th of November. These early days can be likened to the first moments of dawn as we are waking from a dream. Not really sure what direction to take, but one thing is being revealed to me and perhaps to you as well. We are moving towards love, universal love, in huge, giant quantum steps. That is the topic for today. So if you feel that love, the oneness frequencies, please call in and share it with us. Or even if you don't feel it, share whatever you feel. If you're new to the show, Earth Harmony's mission statement is quite simple. Let us focus on sharing joy, oneness, abundance, gratitude and self-awareness at all times. And let's be ethical, use intuition, not fear. First of all, I always begin with the abundance intent, so let's take a deep breath and focus on our third eye. Abundance intent. I focus on the holy high self within as the only source of my prosperity. I know this inner presence as the only activity in my financial, personal, health, career, all affairs, as it is the substance of all things visible. I trust in the principle of abundance in action, within as without, and so it is. Today we have lots of time for free readings, people, so call in with questions, or if you have any topic you want to discuss, I would like to encourage you to call in. Any comments will do, even on past topics, topics of the money system, whatever you want to talk about. You can find out more about me visiting my website, redlotus.org, or email me at elizabeth@redlotus.org. I would love to hear from you. Let me start with a Hopi prophecy. I thought this would be kind of timely. It says, "The emergence to the future fifth world has begun. It is being made by the humble people of little nations, tribes, and racial minorities. When the great purification is near, these helpers will shake the earth first for a short time in preparation. After they shake the earth two times more, they will be joined by the true white brother, who will become one with them and bring the purification day to the world. All three will help the younger brother, the Hopi and other pure-hearted people," is what this younger brother means, "to make a better world." In the prophecies, the two helpers are designated by the Hopi word for population, as if they were large groups of people, maybe two groups of people, the way I see it. "It is known that our true white brother, when he comes, will be all-powerful and will wear a red cap or red cloak. He will be large in population and belong to no religion but his very own. So just as with our practice of cultivation, meaning farming or growing food and vegetables, or as our bodies are being transformed, so the new earth is being made. These substances at the surface level dimensions will let the good people who are kept to go onto the new earth one day unwittingly find that the world has suddenly changed. Or they may wake up one morning and discover that everything on earth has been renewed. Kind of like a farmer in the spring wakes up one morning and sees that all his crops are finally shooting out through the earth that he just planted a few months before. So, beloved friends, truly these are incredible times. This is exactly what is happening right now. Visible shifts, visible changes, visible transformations are happening so fast, it takes my breath away. But first, let's examine the curious subject of money, because the topic is money versus currency. And I thought that it would be nice to kind of clarify what is money, really? And where does it come from? Where did it originate? What happened to the fair exchange system of money? The dictionary says that money is a medium of exchange, a measure of value, a means of payment. In short, money is what people use to buy things. Nothing evil, unspiritual, or too materialistic here. Money is simply a part of the physical living process. And in the past, it was as varied as stones, beads, feathers, fish hooks, animal skins, and shells. So to establish a standard value in the system, metal coins were later made, each one stamped with a design to guarantee its value. This first took place around 600 BC in a country now called Turkey, and then paper money got started in China during the 1300s. Today we give paper money and coins to people for the things they sell or the work they do. Simple, isn't it? Where it gets complex is that many people do not have sufficient paper or coins to exchange for the goods and services they need and want. Why is that? Well, what happened with money, instead of becoming a fair exchange system like it started out to be, with the invention of the debt-based systems, which has been invented around 600 after Christ's birth, somewhere around the early 600s AD, humanity has been duped into believing in scarcity. Instead of believing in our own resources, in our own source of abundance, our belief system has placed abundance outside of our own selves. So over 2,000 years or so, we've been duped into adopting the opposite belief. Instead of believing in our own source of abundance, it has been placed outside of the self. With this mind-constructed money system, banking system, or exchange system, humans forgot their own source, inexhaustible abundance. And we all gave in to this belief system. We all gave our consent and faithfully placed our lives into the hands of those who ran amok with it. We developed a group of humans on this planet who decided to take control of this belief system. With our consent, has been given to the religious systems, to the money systems, to the ruling systems, to the ruling few, and basically we handed over our own human resource, our own human ourselves abundance resource to this mind-constructed illusionary system. If you translate money, you can translate it into such words as money, M-O-N-E-Y, meaning my own natural energy yield. This is what money should really translate into. What does this mean? It relates to me or myself as a possessor of something. What about own? It means belonging to oneself. And natural, it means God-given, genuine, normal, an essential essence. Energy, the word was first coined by Aristotle to express the concept of vigor, of expression. The mystery school in Alexandria then began using the word to describe cosmic forces, the power and force of omnipotence. That which we are individualized as us, as humans. Each one of us is the very energy of the universe personified. And yield is defined as harvest, return, payment, to bring something forth as a result of cultivation or as a return from investment. So with the above understanding, let's now describe money in this way. Money is my very essence, which when properly expressed, returns to me as an all-sufficiency of legal tender to be used in exchange for goods and services. So now we see that in its original form, in energy form, money has already been distributed equally among all souls on the planet, and an equal opportunity exists right now for every single individual to enjoy a full measure of visible abundance. So we are our own money. Money is us. Money is you. Money is me. Of course, it got extremely convoluted, as I mentioned before, so this should be the proper understanding and feeling of money. However, because of these distortions, the money system that was illusionary created by the debt-based mind-constructed systems of the banking systems and the ruling groups of humans, that is really what's coming to collapse. The original feeling of the exchange that I just described to you will never end because energy cannot be destroyed. So the true essence of abundance, the abundance source of money, will always be there. Anyhow, so I just wanted to clarify that, and I hope you can resonate with that, beloved friends. But anyhow, I wanted to move into what really is currency, because this has been revealed more and more and more to me, and I'm sure to you too, that the only true currency at this point in time for us humans is pure love essence. Pure love essence is the only currency that goes around, that makes the world go around. Just imagine when you give from the heart, when you receive from the heart, when you give and not expect anything in return, that is pure love essence. We feel that most closely, of course, with our loved ones around us, like our family, friends, children. But this energy is now being downloaded in larger and larger circles. It's permeating like a stone when you throw in the water. It's encircling larger and larger circles around the world. I truly, truly feel that right now. I don't know if you are feeling it, but this is what's happening on day 6 of our galactic age. This has been promised to us by the Mayans. Wonderfully interpreted by Kalaman. Earth is now vibrating in magnificent love, pure love essence currency. So I know this. I know this from the bottom of my heart, that pure love essence is the only way, dear friends. every other form of currency will cease to exist in our galaxy and on our planet. So how do we go from this antiquated, mind-constructed, illusionary money system back to our essence? That is what I really would like to talk about today. If you have any thoughts or feelings or resonating with this, please call in. Or if you want any free readings, I would love to hear from you. So here we are, coming full circle. Here we stand again, 10 days away from the winter solstice on December 21st. This is a still point. It's always the darkest point of the year, where the light is at its dimmest. It's a still point, or the empty space between the dark and the light, where the seed atom that will birth the next cycle of experience begins to beam out from the heart of creation. The winter solstice is a significant turning point because the future of our lives is born out of the darkness of the solstice, which will truly manifest during the spring solstice. This is why we celebrate this, and it's been celebrated for thousands of years. This has been the celebration of light, because we knew that from whatever light comes from this darkness gives us life again. We will see what this shift will really look like in March or April of 2009. I believe the biggest shift to our consciousness is just being given birth. Or actually, it's being conceived right now. So we're feeling the birth pains right now. I think a lot of us do. If you're not really fully spiritually moving forward, the pain is much, much worse. Remember the Alex Collier quote that I like to use a lot, which was channeled from the Andromedans. The love that you withhold from self and others is equal to the pain you carry. We need to meditate on that statement. So this is the most perfect time to reflect upon where our true love is, what is in the deepest parts of our hearts, and stimulate the wish to connect with our own truth while connecting with the collective truth, a collective love that is just growing and growing in intensity. Let us remind ourselves to keep the light on as we find ourselves tiptoeing in the dark hallways of this winter portal and through changes that are all part of our imminent entrance into the fourth world on the early moments of dawn of day 6 of the galactic age. So yes, we are on the fourth world. Don't forget it. We are out of the dark fifth night. We really are in the first early morning dawn of day 6. So I hope that this resonates with you and you're starting to feel the hope around this energy. We are reaching higher levels of the love frequency, which started with the fifth night actually about a year ago, but it was just latent. And now slowly but powerfully it has developed into living love and emanating love as a method of healing. We are healing at a quantum leap level. We are becoming the living fields of love, which we always were, but now it's really resonating. Now it's really starting to come alive. We are now starting to use again the divine spark of joy to project onto everything, elevating the vibration and consciousness of ourselves and the planet. Even if you're not using specific forms of meditation to activate your heart center, just creating the intention so that your higher self knows exactly what the instructions are is sufficient in these times. This is how close we are, people. I am just amazed at how close we are to just activating this. All it takes sometimes is just breathing. But anyhow, if you want to activate it at a deeper level, I find simple yoga techniques are amazing, even if you just have 5 to 10 minutes a day. Whenever you have a little time, I would encourage you to just tune into some yoga techniques. There's so many ways you can get a hold of those through videos, DVDs, or taking classes. But yoga is definitely the shortest way, I think, to that heart chakra, that heart center. I also found a simple technique from Phoenix Rising Star. And she says, get in a comfortable position that you can hold for at least 15 minutes. Turn your awareness to your heart space and allow love and gratitude to permeate your being in whatever way is appropriate for you. This may include remembering people or circumstances in which you felt love and gratitude. Or maybe just saying the words will evoke the feeling. Allow it to build and build in your heart center and then place it on automatic pilot where you can continue to feel it, but you don't have to be consciously aware of it. That's a nice simple technique. Bring to your awareness the spark of joy you feel when you are doing something that is in alignment with your soul, and that feels great. Remember what that feels like. Allow that remembrance to permeate your field in whatever way is appropriate for you. This spark of joy combined with love and gratitude are the very elements you are going to utilize for the next few moments. So really feel them. Really get in touch with them. Allow them to build and build in your awareness. Another great way to activate your heart's desires through love and light energy is focus on sending love thoughts to your chosen heart's desire. These are far more than just thought forms. You actually create invisible energy waves that reverberate throughout the universe. Loving thoughts vibrate a pure harmonic that reaches out towards the target's heart and actually helps your target to find a corresponding harmonic. This, of course, not just between lovers, but any person, any sentient being, any being, it could be animals or anything that's around you on earth, the ocean, a tree, a rock, any sentient form, animal, vegetable, or mineral has a vibration that can be attuned with the heart harmonic of Mother Earth, carrying the potential inner peace of this planet. If your heart's desire is true, sending daily love can actually make it happen. If it is not right for you, then unselfishly sending love to all life gently helps to create a planetary harmonic of divine order that in turn actually encourages manifestation of something infinitely more beneficial for you. So it's like sending out a wave of love energy that just keeps on vibrating outwards. And then it eventually finds its way back to you, kind of like an ocean wave that you start out on the East Coast and it ends up on the West Coast. So anyway, this message of love is definitely being felt throughout the world, in especially this month of December. And I do feel that that vibration is getting so huge that any war that is being now starting to permeate again will be shut down, or will just fade out. And even no matter how negative energies are trying desperately to still stay alive and perpetrate our hearts with fear, the more they try, the more it just keeps on reflecting back on them. Anyhow, a huge influx of powerful positive love and light energy is being downloaded on us. And so, for lack of a better term, to effect a change towards a more peaceful earth. So do not be fearful. because this merely constricts the soul and creates negative energy within and around the self. I believe that we each have a quest for spiritual development, that we are right now being guided by our angels to undertake this rain shower of love, if you will. So if we do so, we can create a vast reservoir of love and light energy within our hearts and then send it to Mother Earth's heart to restore her fallen spiritual vibration, a return to Eden. This is symbolized by the sacred Eden tree or the world tree, which is also mentioned in the Coleman book, the Mayan calendar. And so this tree is basically the symbol of the cross. It has been kind of stolen by the Judeo-Christian religions as if the cross is the cross of Jesus, whereas really it was the symbol of the world tree. Anyhow, this is the archetype of all trees, the original sentient life form on earth. The sacred Eden tree or world tree represents the circle of life and stores the divine blueprint. All is energy and vibration, and once Earth's own vibration was much higher and more spiritual. Our true origins are lost in the mist of time. We were, as some suggest, seeded by extraterrestrials as a slave race, symbolized by Adam and Eve, and resulting in the first fall from Eden. We can't be sure what happened 500,000 years ago, but we can be sure that once we existed in unity consciousness, oneness with light, the connection from the heart through love to all within earth and sky. And we also know that by mankind's own actions, much of this world is now in duality, polarized between peace and war, dark and light, masculine, feminine, etc. Our ancient spiritual wisdom, sense of harmony, connection with all, unity consciousness has been lost. However, ascension is back. The ascension back to that unity consciousness is starting to unfold. We are back to that ascension. That's our journey. The secrets held in trust for 2,000 years are being revealed to all of those who are willing and open to receive. Only by coming back into oneness, oneness consciousness, starting at a very personal level, through opening our heart, our higher heart, our heart chakra, can we begin the ascension journey. How has this duality come about? We are led to believe that the first civilizations recorded by hieroglyphs or stone, translated by many wonderful researchers, was Lemuria in the Pacific. Termed the motherland, Lemuria was a place of physical and spiritual harmony with her inhabitants, living and respecting the connection between earth, sky, and all sentient life forms. The glyphs say that she went down around 13,000 years ago through volcanic eruptions, but had established colonies and kingdoms in India, Egypt, and South America. Mayan glyphs match with Lemurian ones. Atlantis flourished simultaneously until mankind's greed encouraged manipulation of crystal power for personal gain instead of for the good of all. Then Atlantis and mankind fell again from grace. Barbara Hindcloud talks about this event in her book of Catastrophobia, and she believes that it happened about 90,000 years ago or so, B.C., or 100,000 years ago. Certainly, we went through humanity went through a huge catastrophe from which we are just healing right now. These falls meant that the original pure angelic light vibration of Mother Earth and her sentient life forms descended, becoming denser, darker, and polarized, becoming an incomplete form, half light, in which much of what is happening today, such as financial greed, selfishness, and religious extremism, it can flourish. So the answer, dear friends, is ascension. And that ascension means returning to the complete or pure angelic light of oneness that is still there on the other side of the Stargate, awaiting our connection through opening our heart, higher heart. Speaking of Stargate, as we discussed this, and I talked about this in my newsletter, where we know that Pluto, our friend Pluto out there, has visited the Galactic Center, which is our heart chakra, and it's been there quite a while, for about a year or so, and then it reversed and went back close to the heart center or the Galactic Center. Many believe that it is actually still there. It is on its last few moments of being there, and activating the Galactic Center with its laser beam is probably why we are feeling this pure love emanating at us right now, opening our heart chakras so wonderful. Remember, when you put a laser beam on something, it sure gets activated, and I think this is the connection we are feeling with that Stargate. It is being opened as we speak. So this Stargate, which some call the 4444 Stargate, awaiting our connection, is actually happening right as we speak. Then, of course, there are the Seraphim secrets that I don't know if I should get into, but enough to say that there are a host of galactic beings who are gladly are awaiting us to go through this ascension process. And they are surrounding us right now. In fact, not only our own planet, but many other planets in our galaxy is going through this ascension process from the third dimensional energies into higher dimensional frequencies. And so if you are on your spiritual journey, which I encourage you to really, really tune into and move on with, remember, you will feel much less pain and more joy and more freedom than ever before. So this is really the only way out of the madness of the fall of the money system. So as I was saying, a host of angels, a host of our galactic friends, or some people call them orbs, or little alien friends, will gladly disclose these secrets to us to move us along the way of love and light. Because for everyone who achieves personal ascension and unity consciousness, a huge exponential healing fractal of love and light is generated from heart and soul that will aid the planetary ascension for all life. Remember, we're not the only ones on this planet. The entire planetary living universe on our planet is awaiting this ascension. I had a beautiful vision the other night of feeling every single animal that walked on this planet Earth. I felt every animal's vibration walking right in front of my eyes, even the ones that are already extinct, like the woolly mammoths. They were all appearing in front of me, and then they all united in this crystal fractal vision. That was just the most incredible energy that I felt in a long time. And this energy was speaking to me, saying, okay, guys, I hope you guys are ready, because we are ready to ascend. And I know the animal kingdom was speaking to me at that time. our animal kingdom here on Earth, and of course all beings, all sentient and non-sentient beings, all the minerals, the rocks, the vegetation, all the ecosystems, the waters, the oceans, and all their beings within the waters, they're all awaiting this incredible ascension. And so as 2012 approaches, the sooner we start, the better. And I believe that these next few years are going to be about that, that we are moving into these higher frequencies, higher love frequencies. Here's another nice quote that I can't remember where I found it. It says, the key to unity is to embrace the unlimited diversity of humanity as a whole. Integration and peace can then be created through the existence of our common humanity when people accept everyone else as they are, simply because they exist. And that is really what I'm talking about here. And how we get there with still so much diversity among us is truly an amazing thought. But to again quote from my dear mentor, I would call her my mentor, Barbara Hand Clow. She talks about it in the Mayan Code, in her book, The Mayan Code. And by the way, I'm going to have Barbara Hand Clow back on our show. I'm really honored that she will return on January 21st. So please mark your calendars. We will be talking in great detail about day 6 of the Mayan calendar. In her book, The Mayan Code, she says, the only way we can actually master the Neptunian spiritual enlightenment, we are in Neptunian spiritual enlightenment phase because Neptune is visiting the house of Aquarius and Uranus is visiting the house of Pisces. And so Neptune is activating the Aquarian age, whether we're in it or not. So there's a Neptunian spiritual enlightenment unfolding and is transforming us. It's transforming our emotional limitations by embracing absolute truth and integrity. And that is Pluto's agenda also. Pluto is the key to finding this emotional purity, since it rules transformation of inner darkness so that cosmic fusion and galactic integration are experienced. So meanwhile, while Pluto has a very elliptical orbit and it goes inside Neptune's orbit for about 20 years during each of its 249-year orbits around the Sun, Pluto was inside Neptune's orbit from 79 until the spring equinox of 99. So it actually already activated Neptune's energies. Now, the soul infusion process that's going on, according to Barbara, she says we're moving from the Homo sapiens to Homo peaches, which means the peace-loving human who is not a war-making human. In one of her books, I believe this is her book from, I'm not sure if this is the Catastrophobia book or the Pleiadian Agenda, but anyway, she quotes Lawton, who writes about the Watchers who came on our Earth in the form of, they were higher alien beings. She says, could there really be managed soul infusion processes that trigger evolutionary advances during each new underworld time acceleration? Are we in the middle of significant soul infusions during the galactic underworld? And what was it like for early human women to give birth to giants? She is discussing this in this book, The Mayan Code. I do believe that we have huge soul infusion happening right now. And that soul infusion is truly taking us back to ascension into our true angelic light that was manifested in ancient times. And now I understand why I was so obsessed with going back to ancient systems such as the Bazi system that I still use to work with destiny readings, because our ancient Chinese ancestors, the Sumerian, Vedic, and Mayan ancestors knew how to tap into that light, that intuitive light. And now we're returning back to that type of unity consciousness that was lost to us. And so she says, beginning with the breakthrough on day five, which day five we already passed 2 years ago, in 2006, all humans will begin to respond to the call by the Universe Society for guidance. Each person will want to know what we, each one of us, must do as governments and religious systems crumble. So while once we get to the universal underworld in 2011, the blood of Christ will quicken in the veins of all humanity, and love will be the greatest force on earth. And so she goes into how Christ consciousness really truly will be the only consciousness left for us to tap into. Mothers and fathers will refuse to send their progeny to war because their children are Christ. Wars will cease because people will see that they don't need religion to be in communion with the divine. The keepers of earth, humankind, will begin the long and hard task of restoring and reinvigorating earth's ecosystems. We will see again that each plant and animal is infused with God's light. During the Universal Underworld in 2011, which she calls the Cosmic Party, I love it, all humans will exist in oneness with earth's habitat, the womb of divine consciousness in the universe. So after 2011, during 2012, all the seasonal festivals, the equinoxes and the solstices will be celebrated. And when time ends, meaning the three-dimensional linear time that we are keeping here on Earth ends in 2012, but that doesn't mean that galactic time ends. Galactic time is the timekeeping that is kept by the Mayan calendar. So we will be switching to that kind of timekeeping. So when time ends and the evolutionary activation driven by the World Tree is finally complete, the people of Earth will have forgotten all about history and even the Mayan calendar. They will be in ecstatic communion with nature and the Creator. So this is what's really awaiting us, dear friends, and I am, for one, incredibly excited about that. Of course, first we will go through a painful shifting process that is gently downloaded on us at the moment. I am so at awe how creation is so incredibly gentle with us humans. So loving and so careful as to not cause any more harm. If you can remember back to the fifth night that was happening in our parents' lifetime during 1932 through 1952, the incredible pain, the incredible misery, killings and torture that was perpetrated on humanity, to really wake us up that war-making, killing is no longer acceptable on planet Earth. We remember that. I think we all remember it so painfully, some still alive remember it, of course, even more deeply. But even the children of those, like myself, who lived through wars, I remember from my grandfather's stories about World War I, and of course my mother's stories about World War II, and the movies and the documentaries that we see repeatedly still about the wars in Hiroshima. And even after 1948, between 1948 and 1952, there were some very sinister energies permeating many, many countries, such as McCarthyism here in the U.S., and of course the secret police actions in my country, in Hungary. Those kinds of energies are being felt right now, of course, in much shorter time spans, because what used to take years back then, what took, let's say, 4 years from 1948 to 1952, it's now only taking maybe a few weeks. I'm feeling that right now. I'm sure many of you are feeling that there is this heavy energy coming on to bring us back into fear of these mind-constructed, illusionary systems that still people buy into. You know, there's many out there who still believe that we will be controlled and microchipped, and there will be concentration camps, and we will be locked away, and things like that. However, I don't, based on the Mayan timekeeping, the Mayan schedule, according to that schedule, we are done with the fifth night, and even the shadow period of fifth night is pretty much over as of this week. I believe that by the end of this week, with the full moon on the 12th, we're done. And none of these shadowy experiments on humankind will be effective anymore. They will keep trying and trying and trying, of course. As Barbara Hand Klaus says, Saturn opposing Neptune again over and over in 07, and then, of course, the Saturn and Uranus opposition going on in 2008, is a very formidable energy that's really going on as we speak right now. She says Saturn will oppose Uranus periodically from November of 08 through July 2010, and Saturn will square Pluto periodically from October of 09 through September 10. Uranus will square Pluto from 011 through 2015. And so these oppositions are creating dizzying, fast changes, many of them economic, based on energy problems that will be very hard to cope with unless we are debt-free and really aligned with our spiritual love energies, the heart chakra that I keep talking about. So when Saturn opposed Neptune in 06 and in 07, many new alignments have been created to higher spiritual forces. And after 2008, these new spiritual choices need to be the real part of our lives, people, and not just dreams. I'm not just dreaming here. With Saturn opposite Uranus, huge transformations of existing structures will occur, because Uranus will be in Aries soon and Saturn will be in Libra soon. All the old structures will be transformed in shocking ways that will create balance within new structures. For example, again, Barbara says, this opposition could force America to reduce its energy consumption and curb its tendency to take fast actions without thinking about the consequences. As Pluto in Capricorn squares Saturn in Libra, the structural forces, the Saturnian forces, will be transformed amid revolution in the actual structure of the universe, ruled by Pluto. the big struggle during this balancing and integration will be the most aggressive level of change and transformation. Coming into that in 011, when Uranus is in Aries, that can be imagined. Yet these are the kinds of archetypal forces that are needed to push people to choose enlightenment over materialism. And then she says during 2011, Neptune completes its first solar orbit since it was sighted, and when Neptune enters Pisces, the forces of spiritualism that developed around 1846 will reemerge. For example, American idealism, a movement that once inspired the world, will express itself through a new transcendentalism that will be inspired by galactic consciousness. Politics based on the universe, exopolitics, may replace politics based on America as the empire. Everywhere there will be contempt for militarism and global chauvinism. Uranus was conjunct Pluto during 1960s, which introduced enlightenment, and with Uranus arriving at its first square to Pluto during 2011 and 2012, there is no doubt enlightenment will sweep our planet as each country offers its own spiritual contribution. The astrological patterns in play during the galactic underworld demonstrate that the planets support the theorized time accelerations of the galactic and universal underworld, the universal being in 2011. So the small planet the astronomers denoted in 2006 tells the story all by itself, the small planet being Pluto, of course. During January 2008, Pluto goes into Capricorn for the first time since it was sighted. Capricorn is the maximum structural energy force on Earth. Thus, Pluto in Capricorn will confront and radically destroy the remaining elements of the national and planetary underworlds. These underworlds existed 5,000 years ago, or created 5,000 years ago and 250 years ago. The first one was basically where the religious system started, and the second one, the planetary, was when the technological age began. The most profound energies available on Earth, the ability to be enlightened and enjoy, will emerge as the highest creation of the galactic and universal underworlds in 2011. What is the highest of energies available as a currency here on Earth? Love. Love is the currency. This is what all our wonderful songs, writings, literature, arts express. It's in the deepest corners of our hearts. Let us bring it out. Let us celebrate the love energy that is about to permeate our galaxy and our own little planet, Earth. That is my prayer for us today. And so, again, finishing up with another Hopi prophecy. The earth will become new as it was from the beginning. Flowers will bloom again. Wild game will return to barren lands. And there will be abundance of food for all. Those who are saved will share everything equally, and they all will recognize Great Spirit and speak one language. And so it is. This is my prayer, dear friends, and I hope it is yours as well. I hope that you hold on to that love energy no matter what. That is going to be your guiding light. That is your rod that is fastened to our galactic center, to our creators, to our love goddess or god or whatever you want to call it. We are connected to that in more than ever before, in such unity now that there is no more dividing happening, cannot happen anymore. Division, dualism is over. And so it is. Let us finish this incredible time today with the usual closing gratitude intent. I'm grateful, and I know now that there is nothing that I could truly desire that is not at this very moment standing at the door of my consciousness, ready to appear in my life and affairs. I have only to be conscious of this truth, and every need is met, every problem solved, every question answered. My consciousness of the holy high self within is all I will ever need for all eternity. And so it is. Friends, our next live show will air on Wednesday, January 7th, 2009 at 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Time. I will have the great honor to have as my guest the world-renowned alternative research expert and great mystic, my secret mentor. He doesn't know that, but he is, Michael Tesarian. I hope you tune in. Please mark your calendars. And then on January 21st, Barbara Handclaw will return to discuss day 6 of the Mayan calendar, as I mentioned earlier. We will go into great detail with her, and hopefully we will have a great show in the month of January of 2009. Please mark your calendars. Please join our shows. They will be awesome. You can also check my web pages for details on upcoming shows or visit the Earth Harmony Archives if you missed any of the live shows, because they are truly timely and important informational hours that I spent with many wonderful guests. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm Elizabeth, checking out. Until we meet again next time, have a blessed, festive, love-filled solstice holiday. Everyone, blessed be all. Thank you.
Can I believe what I see? All I have wished for will